What do we have on the rundown today?
You don't want to find out in real time?
Fine, let's do it.
Okay. Trust me, none of them.
No, really. I don't have control issues at all, so it's like totally cool.
Welcome to Spinsters, a podcast where we have so much to talk about that we can't even begin to describe it. Gonna be, an episode full of topics like you've never seen before, because it's the off season and there is so much happening.
Just gonna have to keep listening to find out what
just
it
gonna
is.
Have to keep listening. If you're hearing that voice
tuned.
Or on YouTube seeing that face, that is none other than Sirit Sohi from The Ringer. And is there another introduction that you would like?
No, that's good.
All right.
Yeah.
National NBA writer from TheRinger.com. Thank you for joining us.
If there's other nice things you'd like to say, this is the time.
I would say very nice person, good sounding board, personal friend, shiny hair.
Shiny hair, yeah. I'm a little greasy today, too. Yeah.
Okay, so I said on. I wanted, like, my aura was greasy. I didn't literally mean that I am greasy, but... Accusations are flying.
Whoops. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. And Indeed's doing something no other job site has done. Now with Indeed, businesses only pay for quality applications matching the sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/spinsters to start hiring now. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime. On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Okay, so today, basically, I also want to say that I was trying to come up with topics, but I was deterred because it is genuinely really hard for me to go online right now, because you go online and it's like, hey, here's this stat about how actually you guys are so fucking stupid for even pretending that COVID is like halfway done. Mm-hmm. Here's all the people, and that's really like, it just fills your body with all kinds of anxiety. And helplessness. And then now there's like on the back burner, it's like we're cooking, right? Front burner, I keep having to stir COVID. It's like butter that's gonna burn any minute. You want it to brown, you don't want it to burn.
Seriously.
Then on the back burner, we've got all of a sudden the water's begun to boil and it's monkeypox, and it's not boiling over, but it's about to. And I'm like really worried about it. One, because it's called monkeypox. I just feel like I understand the origin is because the first time they discovered it was from monkey. It was in monkeys or whatever. It has to do with that.
Yeah.
Just not a great name. Could not be more intimidating, especially after I saw Nope. No spoilers, though. But
oh, yeah.
Very. The pictures are freaking me the fuck out. They don't seem to know much about it.
I don't get those,
but that's why
feed.
I was online literally Googling, like trying to find some semblance of what people are talking about, because I've been so offline, because every time I get online, I have to add something to this fucking stove analogy. Yesterday, I'm going on and I'm like, okay, da-da-da-da-da, oh, Jimmy Butler's hair, like, thank you for the suggestion, Jordan. I'm looking, and then all of a sudden I see that the CDC's like, hey guys, there's this fresh bacteria just dropped. And it's in the water, and it's deadly. So just be ready for that. Cool. So I immediately close out of the app. And then 15 minutes go by, and I was like, no, I have to come up with something to talk about today. So I go back in, and then there's like an Ebola thing, and I'm trying to figure out, are they connected? Just extremely stressful. So yeah, there's a reason that I'm so unprepared, but I do want to talk about Jimmy Butler's hair. Then I want to go all the way over here. Big mood switch, Brittany Griner update, because the articles written about it, whenever something goes outside of sports but deals with a sports figure, and then sports writers are writing about it, and then politics writers are writing about the sports figure, mm-hmm. it sounds like somebody talking in a foreign language with a really bad accent. Like, they're trying really hard to put on the accent, but it's, like, incorrect. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It just feels weird. Yeah. And then the third thing I had was maybe we could do life updates since we haven't talked to Sierra in a while. Any takers?
Yeah.
Love all of that.
Yeah. Love it.
Okay,
thanks for doing like the deep sea diving into Twitter for the rest of us, by the way.
Because that's not my feed. And I'm actually a little concerned how much it's not my feed. And now
I haven't
like,
heard of I haven't heard this last one. The one that travels
through
water.
The new bacteria?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've read a couple articles at this point. I can send you it, or I also can't. I don't need
bladder.
To. Yeah. I don't think I should, because some
I'd
people live
just, like,
their whole lives not knowing anything, you know, and, like, don't have Twitter.
Mm-hmm. That's
or
nice.
Don't, they, you know, things can pass them without it becoming a thing that, you know, then they call their therapist for an extra session this week on Thursday. You know what I mean? Like, they don't need that necessarily. Mm-hmm. So I envy them. Yeah. I guess I just alerted anyone who listens to this podcast that there is
someone's looking that up right
new
now.
New thing to freak out about. I would suggest don't, you know. Mm-hmm. But I'm also not a doctor. Not to turn this into like the Joe Rogan podcast. I don't know. Do your own thing. I don't want to get I don't want to get it.
Smooth.
Yeah. Like, Jesus Christ. All right,
if
Jordan.
If you want to go like the ignorance is bliss route, like just take back to like the stove metaphor. The whole house is on fire anyways. So.
Yeah, you're still trying to cook. House is on fire.
I like that. Oh, yeah, because this is the other reason that I fucking clicked out of Twitter after going back a third time is because they were like, hey, interest rates went up again.
It cost
record
$50 to go outside.
I really like the every news thing is like, remember that old record that was just set?
Yeah, like
it
three
got
weeks
beat.
Ago.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Let's talk about Jimmy Butler's hair. Let's talk about something that doesn't actually matter.
It kind of matters. It kind of matters because, well, let's set the stage. Jimmy Butler showed up on Instagram with very long faux locks. It was a shock to a lot of people because his hair, his actual hair is not that long. But he wanted to try a new hairstyle. And so they added hair so he can have dreads for the summer. So this is a very important time for protective styles. That's what we call them, because you can have braids, faux locks, you can get cornrows. And Jimmy Butler wanted to moisturize his hair, have it protected under a hairstyle. And so he came out with some faux locks. And I have some thoughts, but I want to hear from around the room what we think, just from what it looks like. Do you think it's a good look for him or not?
I'm just seeing these right now.
Real time.
Yeah, real time. Real time. I'm into it. I think it's very Jimmy. Like, it's a hairstyle that fits his personality.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I need more time to digest, honestly. Haley,
look, I've had long hair. I've had short hair. I have fake ponytails because now my hair's shorter. It's fun to throw something around. Mm-hmm. I'll say it.
It's true. I miss having long hair.
Yeah.
So maybe
it's
that's
great
how you
having
felt.
Short hair, but sometimes you want to change the look. For me, look, jokes are they're very funny. Some very funny things being said on the internet right now. That's great. But I also am like, if a man wants to do something to his appearance that is traditionally maybe something done in feminine spaces, go do it. Paint your nails. Mm-hmm. If we're going to, you know, like Jimmy Butler is probably the one person who could introduce this to a, not that it hasn't been before, but, you know, in this basketball space, in this specific space, like, you know, introduce this to masculine spaces. He is someone who is so very confident in himself mm-hmm. that maybe he can pull it off, it being like getting it to be something that people aren't like breaking the internet in jokes with. But if you want to do it, do it. I want you to do it too. Good. You look beautiful, Jimmy.
I feel like he's really kind good. Of like one of the only people that somebody who was insecure about their masculinity would not question anything about his masculinity, regardless of what he did.
Yeah.
I know. And I'm, well, one, what you said, this has happened before. Like, people add hair to their hair all the time. I came out and said that Paul George was definitely adding hair to his cornrows because they weren't long enough. People came after me. They're like, no, he doesn't. Look at his fro. Look at these pictures. I'm like, it's fine. It happens all the time. Like, we just said, you have ponytails. I change my hair every other day. Like, your hair is an accessory and it should be something that you add on to, cut, dye, color. And I love that Jimmy Butler was like, hey, you know that guy over there with those long dreads? I love that look, but I'm not going to put in 10 years to grow out my hair. I actually want it right now. And that's the fun part of hair, of adding hair. So my favorite joke is calling him Jimmy Bundles. I think that's actually hilarious. And that is his new nickname now for me forever. But I love the expression. I'm here for it. If any other NBA player who magically has long braids one day says that they didn't add hair, they're lying. I don't believe them.
Why is that something also, to lie about, though?
Well, because, it's easy to trace back. People are lying about it, right? Like, let's say Paul George maybe isn't open about it because there's a certain stigma behind caring about your appearance.
Mm. Oh, it's just like when men do their eyebrows and lie about it?
Exactly.
Okay, gotcha.
Anything that you do to care for yourself in a way that is perceived as feminine. For example, we've finally gotten over the pedicure hump.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. We should not in any way be discouraging people from men from caring about their appearance, their smell, you know, as long as it's like in a healthy, productive way. I'm not saying in a way where I want people to be like obsessed with their appearance. But if you're, you know, trying new things for the sake of wanting to change it up, good. I approve.
Yeah.
You're hearing here first, guys. Haley O'Shaughnessy, man hater, would like for men to feel dysmorphic in every possible way.
Yes, basically. I just go back to these stories about my friends' heterosexual relationships and their boyfriends and like them literally having to teach these men how to shower correctly. So look, if somebody is invested in the self-awareness and, again, expression, like you said, Jordan, it's an accessory. Not getting any laughs from me over here. You look great.
You look great. You're trying something new. And I think we so quickly forget how LeBron goes from bald to an afro like every other weekend. So we accept it. It's what makes him feel good. He's not ready to let go of his hair yet, and he can do whatever he needs to do to feel his best self. So in an old Spencer's episode called Ode to Black Hair, we dive into that more and how players go overseas to get these hairlines, injections, however you want to call it, whatever you feel good. And Jimmy Butler, Jimmy Bundles, he felt good with some longer hair. He, like, had it in a low pony during his workout. He was rocking it. He loves it.
Clutch Points posted a video. It's, like, all piled on top of his head. I love that shit. It looks so cute. And he's like.
You can tell he loves it because he's posted pictures walking. He posted the transformation video. He posted pictures in practice. His trainer posted pictures, which I'm sure he, like, asked permission or whatever. Mm-hmm.
He's feeling it.
We've come a long way from Carlos Boozer sharpieing in his hair.
Also, everyone deserves to have that feeling of, like, got a bold new haircut and just feeling myself and want to take every picture in the world and want everyone in the world to see it. I'm happy 100%. For Jimmy.
Yes.
It's a good August feeling, too.
When I get those long box braids, I'm doing some videos with a hair flip. That's coming soon for Jimmy. He's going to do a hair flip. He can't wait. And I love that for him.
I want him like in the pool doing the over the head hair flip, water on a picture.
Yeah.
I want it on Instagram. Yeah, backlit.
Yeah. Jimmy's a little sassy, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. Another episode we did one time that was last June, and it was about Dennis Rodman and him being like one of the first. Oh, thank you. I'll tell Zach you said that. One of the first athletes to like kind of live his life in a gender nonconforming way. Mm-hmm. And for it to, I mean, this is going to sound crass on surface, but like for him to quote unquote get away with it. Because back, I mean, like in the 90s, especially, as far as we've come today, like people are still calling Jimmy Butler all kinds of like homophobic things on the internet for, like you said, Jordan, like at its base, putting hair on his hair. But yeah. The thing about Dennis Rodman was like he, no, I have many issues with Dennis Rodman as a person who has harmed other people, did not care. And was extremely talented at basketball and had interests outside of basketball. There are through lines in those three things between him and Jimmy Butler, which is why when I saw it, I was like, I'm glad it's Jimmy Butler. I'm not, it's like, I'm glad it's not someone like, I don't know, who's the worst player who could do this? Just someone who's like so insecure. Ben, look, is don't it, do this right now.
Is it not Kevin Durant?
Oh, yeah, Kevin. That would be real growth from him if he could do that.
I would applaud that. Celebrate that if KD just come out. What would he have, though? I don't think he would have full
locks. I don't think he'd have big, long dreads.
I think he would.
I could see him just doing like a blonde. A fro.
Oh, go blonde.
Oh, just dyeing his hair. Yeah. Cute.
I'd love that, actually. A really like, yeah. Blonde KD. Yeah.
That would be good.
He is not particularly known for his style, I think is a nice way of saying it. So that would be fun from him, too.
That would be fun.
Yeah, I feel like every time I see him in the podcast or anywhere, he just kind of pulls up in sweatpants. Which, hey, good for you, man. Your thing. Just doesn't really seem to care or, like, put any
feels like his personality.
Yeah.
He's just pulling up in sweats to kind of every situation, which is totally fine, but I what if it
requesting
starts
a trade? Why? I don't know.
I'm
not telling you.
Isn't his Twitter bio like I'm me, I do me, and I chill? Yeah.
All caps. Yeah. But what if this starts just like a chain reaction where everyone's like, "Wow, if Jimmy Butler can do this, I've been wanting an afro, and it will take too long to grow, so." Lace front afros from all NBA players. Fingers crossed. I hope this happens. I would love the summer of hair revolution in the NBA. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you have to do a part two on your episode.
Oh, I would love to.
I hope it does though, because like you said, and I think I was saying this, I don't know if I was on the phone with you. I don't know if we were saying this on a podcast. I don't know if we were saying this on a podcast that we're banking for later this summer when we're in olive tree groves, whatever, but no one's experience is completely unique. There's no way Jimmy Butler's the only player who wants to do this, has done this. Look, if you're a player out there and you want to express yourself more, I think you should 100% do it.
Yes.
Pro Expression, the Spencer's podcast.
I love how I feel after a good workout. I feel strong, confident, and motivated. But your girl ain't young anymore. Those sore joints and muscles sometimes weigh me down and keep me from reaching my fitness goals. That's why I use the doTERRA Deep Blue Stick. It provides targeted, natural, and reliable relief without synthetic ingredients. Learn more at doTERRA.com/spinsters. That's doTERRA.com/spinsters.
Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring partner that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring in one place so easy because of sponsoring jobs. No other job site takes care of you like Indeed, because with Indeed, you only pay if an applicant meets your must-have requirements. And Indeed's doing something no other job site has done. Now with Indeed, businesses only pay for quality applications matching the sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/spinsters to start hiring now. Just go to Indeed.com/spinsters. Indeed.com/spinsters. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I have next on the rundown, I have Jimmy Hare, LA. I don't remember why I wrote down LA. And then I have a Brittany Griner update. So we can go through and just see what we think about this. There's a story that was written. I can read through this real quick. Okay. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said on Wednesday the U.S. has offered to release Viktor Bout, a convicted Russian arms trafficker serving a 25-year prison sentence in exchange for WNBA star Brittany Griner and former U.S. Marine Paul Whelan, CNN reports. Griner testified at her trial on Wednesday, saying that a language interpreter only translated part of what she said during her questioning. She's been detained since February, faces up to 10 years in prison. The sentences that she's faces, they keep varying per report, but it's a long fucking time.
Yeah.
Okay, so then I also saw this thing from ESPN that said the Kremlin warned Thursday that a possible prisoner swap with the U.S. involving Brittany Griner needs to be negotiated quietly without fanfare. And I clicked on the article to see what the fuck that meant. And I didn't quite get an explanation. And I don't know if they mean like fanfare as in we don't want people talking about it on Twitter. What, like fanfare from the W? Fanfare is an odd choice of words when you're dealing with a famous person. So she is a famous person. I'm not really sure what they mean by that. I mean, this is the basically what they said. Asked about the U.S. offer, Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov replied that prisoner swaps were typically negotiated discreetly behind the scenes. Quote, we know that such issues are discussed without any such release of information. Normally, the public learns about it when agreements are already implemented. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great, but not in this case, obviously. It's a very public figure. So I don't know. Doesn't seem very solid on any kinds of grounds. But I am wondering if they're going to start asking us to do the same thing we did at the beginning, which is to not talk about it much.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure.
Yeah, it's been so kind of back and forth of like, okay, nobody talk about it. Okay, everybody raise hell. And, you know, Brittany Griner's wife, talk about it. Go on Good Morning America and don't stop talking about it. So now to kind of say when we're kind of getting what we've asked for a little bit and it feels like the prisoner swap was one solution, one solid solution. So now that that is in conversation for us to not talk about it now when all we've been talking about is getting to this point seems like a big question mark. And it isn't clear on whether like which is helping more. I think that's exactly what I'm confused at. Has it helped more when we weren't talking about it? Is it helping more that now it's everywhere and everyone's getting this update? I'm not sure.
Was it strategic for her wife? I guess obviously it was strategic on her part, but was there a larger strategy there on her talking about it more? Because I feel like in one of the interviews I watched, she just kind of felt like she needed to change strategies, where like she felt like the like just Biden and the U.S. government wasn't paying enough attention to it, like especially after they botched that call. It seems like that might have been like when she decided like, okay, this sort of like stay quiet and let them work out behind the scenes thing isn't working.
Well, it was only after that happened that that the U.S. Changed their definition of her captivity to what?
Wrongfully
detained. Yeah, thank you. So, yeah, that's it happened because she spoke out. But I don't know. I mean, that's the kind of the other thing is, like, I just don't trust any party in this situation. Like, I read this article about this teacher who goes over to teach kids in Russia who are, like, kids of people who work at the U.S. Embassy there. Mm-hmm. And he's American, and he brought some weed in, and it wasn't, like, that much. It was way more than Brittany Griner did, but it wasn't that much. And he's, I think, been sentenced to 15 years, and he's just looking at this case like, well, fuck. Like, this is all happening because she had a little bit of an oil, like, an oil part of a pen, you know? Mm-hmm. So do I expect resolution from their side to be sensical? No. Do I expect the response from the U.S. to be swift? I mean, I guess they have now offered up a potential swap, but I don't know. That just, like, I don't really trust Joe Biden to do anything.
I know. It's so hard to put your trust in both of these. But, Sarah, to go back to your question, Brittany Griner's wife started speaking out more because Trevor Reed's family suggested. Trevor Reed was in Russia detained, and he was in a prisoner swap. He was able to come back to the U.S. And so she was kind of advised from his family to say, like, you have to be the one. Like, nobody else is going to be the biggest advocate for your wife than you.
Yeah.
And that was what she was saying in the Good Morning America interview, and and starting to do that with Angela Rye with ESPN. She was like, this is not me. I do not want to be here. I do not want to do this. But I've been told that this is kind of the best way to bring more attention. And I think it worked. I think that's when people were like, okay, she is so quiet. Sherelle Griner wanted to, you know, kind of be in the background. She was going to law school. She was like, I'm studying exactly what I'm fighting for my wife right now. How ironic is this? But she was kind of pushed to speak out.
Didn't she graduate recently too?
Yeah, she was like just about to take her bar.
Yeah. I saw her talking about, like, how it sucks that, like, you know, Brittany was such a big part of that, and she didn't get to celebrate that with her. It all just is really sad.
Well, let's like look forward, because we obviously don't know. Yeah. We know what we know, which is like what we're told to know. This is getting very Joe Rogan-y again, but like, we only know what they're telling us. Oh, but hopefully next time we record, we've got better news about her and an update that seems like it's going to be fruitful. But what do we think this means for the future of W stars playing in Russia? Like, if you're a WNBA star and you see this going on and you don't even fucking smoke weed, are you going to go over there?
I don't think so at all.
Even if you don't smoke weed, because I feel like the thing also with, like, the fact that it's weed is, like, it's, like, this is, like, the number one drug that's used across the world to incarcerate people for no damn reason. So, like, right. I'm sure that if they wanted to do this, they would find a different way.
Well, yeah, but no, I'm saying, like, even if you don't, teams, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, if there's still a reason to be afraid. Like, if they want to, they will.
Completely,
like, that's pretty much, like, that's Putin. If he wanted to, he would. And, like, he wants to, you know.
100%. Yeah. And also, you see that this has been done to Brittany Griner, who is, I mean, Jordan, correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, one of the best players in Russia since she's been playing in Russia.
Yeah.
So, like, this happened to an icon, someone who was really influencing their sports in a way that when we see our athletes over here and one of them gets into trouble for something, usually they, if they're really good, they get a way out of it.
Yeah.
So if, you know, if you're going over there and you're like, I'm a middling WNBA player, and you don't have even as much influence as she does, but it hasn't really gotten her that far. Yeah, I don't know. I think I would love to see the W kind of have a self-reckoning with itself over this, but I don't know that it will, especially since the labor negotiations happened last summer, Jordan?
Yes.
With the WNBA, yeah. It's just not on the table for a while, but doing the right thing here, I don't think is something that we should put in the like put our faith in the W. I just think it means that probably we won't see as many players go specifically to Russia. I mean, if I want to say if any, but I guess I don't know how many players are over there now.
There's a lot, and there were always the biggest names were going to UMMC, the team that Brittany Griner was on. But Sierra, I think you mentioned it, like players are already pulling out. They're already signing with other teams. I talked with the player Sierra Burdick, who has played overseas. She played in Russia with Brittany Griner before. And she was just talking about how, like, it's a personal decision. Like, you can't really be in people's pockets, because at the end of the day, like, if they're still offering the bag, you can make that decision and you could say, well, this is a lot more money than I would make anywhere else. And you can't just, you know, from the outside, we can't be like, don't go to Russia. We can't be in their pockets. We don't know their situations. But if players are looking at, like, okay, the risk, the fear that I have, is that money worth it? Can I go play somewhere else? Can I find a side hustle to stay in the United States during the off season? I think that has just become a bigger question for a lot of players. They're thinking twice about it. They're not wanting to go to these kind of places. And then the other countries, other teams that are trying to become the super teams that UMMC was, they're kind of looking at it like, hey, come over here. Like, it's much better over here if you come to Spain, if you come to, you know, these other places. So that's been a mix up that you've already seen. People are starting to sign overseas contracts and they're going different places.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's such a good point. And yeah, to your point about, like, we can't be counting their money and saying, oh, it's not worth it to go to Russia. Like, I don't, who knows their situations, but it was the perfect imperfect storm of this happened, and then also players were already leaving because of the conflict with Ukraine. So mm-hmm. like, didn't Allie Quigley left when that happened? Courtney Vandersloot left. So yeah, I mean, I who knows if, like, even let's say magically that had been resolved, or like next season, oh, everything's fine now. I bet it's gonna give people pause.
Mm-hmm.
But
as it should.
Yeah, as it should.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, well, what else? What else do you guys want to talk about? I just have life update written down.
I think you wrote LA about the entire concept of moving to LA, and also me moving to LA.
Oh, yeah, because you're moving back to LA.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a big life update.
Yeah.
Share if you want. Whatever you want.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I moved there probably 3 weeks before the pandemic started. And so, like, pretty much right when I had all of, like, my furniture and everything set. And actually, like, not even all my furniture set. I think, Haley, you came to my apartment, like, very briefly once. It was not. I lived there for, like, 3 months during the pandemic. And then I had to move back. And it was also, like, kind of at that place where we realized we were probably in this for the long haul. So it probably made sense to get out of there. So, yeah, just moving back. I'm scared. I'm excited. I'm happy. I'm sad. I'm all the things.
All the feelings. Wait, where are you living now?
I live in Edmonton, where I grew up. I live with my parents right now.
Nice. Mm-hmm. We all. Yeah, it's been good times.
Yeah. I just I went through it for a more extended period of time. Like, I got very, very used to it.
Yeah. Well, it's nice. You start to realize, like, you're such an asshole as a teenager, and why?
Yeah.
For what?
I know. Oh, my God. My parents are lovely people. My mom makes me a smoothie every morning right here. Fuck. It's, like, now attached to something. But, yeah. Every morning.
I love
every
that.
Every morning. It's, like, so lovely. I think when I was a kid, I'd be like, why are you making me eat this? Now I'm like, this is awesome.
Where do you think you're gonna live when you go back to LA?
Yeah, that's
I don't know. Jordan, are you based in LA? What about you, Sierra?
I am. I'm in the Valley.
I'm in Chicago. Right now I'm in California, but I live in Chicago.
Okay, got you.
So I'm not an LA girl. Yeah,
just an LA girl.
It's I don't really know. LA, I feel like everyone is really excited to be outside, a little too excited. I'm like, let's reel it back. I'm not fully there yet.
Like, literally outside or metaphorically outside? Or like COVID?
All.
Like, all, yeah.
All of the above. Yeah. They are all the way outside. They're wanting to be outside, quote unquote. There's so many events. I feel myself wanting to go to them, but I'm like, we feel like we're in this different bubble world, but it's not. And so be prepared. If you want to go outside, there's opportunities. If you don't, you're also in LA and you could just enjoy the heat wave that honestly everyone is feeling. So
yeah,
we're not unique in that way.
That's really all like what LA is about. It's about the type of outside that you would like to be. I think I would prefer literally outside to metaphorically. That seems scary. I feel like I've always been a little bit apprehensive about moving there, even though I've always wanted to, because there's this tiny part of me that's like, this place will eat me alive if I just indulge in it even a little bit, because there's so much.
I think it's good to, but you're 28?
Yeah.
Yeah. It will be different this time around. When I moved there and I was 22, it was eating me alive. I was eating right back. Like, I was indulging, you know, like I was, because the first time you go out there, I'm like, well, shit, I went to college in Kentucky. Like, you can go to a club on a Tuesday and, you know, people want you there for free and like you're having a good time. And yeah, I mean, and then there's all of the different, like, there's so much good food out there. And so you're just like spending money before you even know how to manage money. I mean, this is all personal experience. I was just like, I was saying yes to everything. I was like, yeah, I'd love to go on a trip there. Yeah, let's go to this rooftop thing. Yeah, let's do this. Let's do this. But when you're, you know, older and wiser and you know what you value in life, you had like the pandemic epiphany that we all did of actually these are the things I want in my life, then I think it's probably a really nice place. People always say that if you move from LA to New York, you're going to go back to LA. If you move from New York to LA, you're going to go back to New York, unless you moved to LA like after you were 35, and then you'll stay because you can appreciate it. So I think you might be in the stage where you can appreciate it. That's actually what I've heard from like so many people. Yes.
Wow.
So many people.
That was
because
so specific.
Yeah.
None of you guys have ever heard that?
No.
Oh.
Well, so no one's ever like, if you move to Chicago when you're 25 and, you know.
Yeah. Well, I know. They're unique places, you know. But they're unique in that they stand out from other cities, but also they're unique in that they're so different from each other. Like, could not be more different.
They really are.
Yeah.
After college, I originally wanted to move to New York. That was like the goal, because I wanted to be in print magazine world. I was like, New York is where I got to be. I moved to downtown LA instead. And I was like, I'm not going to make it in New York. It's not for me. I'm not cut out. I won't survive. I won't make it. Then I moved to the Valley of LA and I'm like, this is my speed. I am, you know, left turn lights. We have like normalcy up here. It's an hour to get anywhere else in LA, but I'm fine because I can get away from everybody. So you learn your pace, what city And what area of LA is your speed? If you're more of a beach vibe, it's a huge county, huge city. So you can find out. And you can move throughout to figure out what part of LA is for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but isn't that part of the key, though, is like try to not move. Just go to an Airbnb until you figure out what place you like. Because moving is such a fucking nightmare in a city. You know what I mean? Like, if when I move out of here and go back to a city, I'm going to go to that place, stay in a hotel until I figure out exactly the block that I want to live in. And then when something comes up open, I will, because I am not moving in a city ever again. I'll move straight out. I'll be a one stop. Sally? One stop Sally. Good.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it again. Nightmare. Fucking nightmare. I moved from Koreatown to West Hollywood. I was young. Don't judge me. And then I moved from West Hollywood to Beachwood Canyon, which was fantastic. I think you would like Beachwood Canyon, or you're definitely like a Silver Lake girly. Silver Lake Echo Park.
I'm looking
girly.
Yeah, you would love that. I'm looking at Silver Lake.
Okay. Or the canyons. The canyons are nice, but the flat part of the canyons, the canyons for like really rich people. I was barely at an incline. Like the minute your calf started to go a little bit, that's where I was. Yeah.
That's so really accurate.
Yeah. I was not in the hills. I was at the foot of them. I was at the part where you look up and you're like, that's a big hill. Yeah.
Did you guys see that Kate Bush interview where she said she's never seen a hill?
So good. Wait, no, I have not seen that.
Jordan, hold on. Let me read this.
She has not run up that hill.
Okay, you know the song Running Up That Hill?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I've never.
Someone interviewed her and said, what's the meaning behind running up that hill? And she said, people ask me that often. Some think it's about literally running up a hill, but it's not. I've never seen a hill, let alone run up one. And the interviewer said, you've never seen a hill? And she said, no, never. Why would I do that?
Why would I do
that? And he said,
why would I do that?
Like, it's a choice.
Ah, my eyes. A hill. Why would I directly look at a hill?
Don't show me that.
He said, I just imagined everyone has seen a hill. There's one right outside this window. Have a look. And she said, I won't be doing that. Please continue the interview without any more hill questions. Maybe that's satire. Oh my god, if that's satire and we're reading it like it's real, this is literally a Joe Rogan podcast. Like, we
welcome back to Spinsters.
Did you guys see that
Joe Rogan podcast?
No. Bad.
Did you guys see that SI story about ball sex sports?
No, actually, but
I saw
when
Ian made
it. You saw it?
I've seen a million people get ball sacked on the timeline.
Is that what we're calling it?
Is that what you call it?
That's what I'm calling it.
That's good. Oh, I thought it was a story about that. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What was the
basically the guy who created it?
I can't read any more Sports Illustrated. I'm maxed out for the month. On all my platforms. On all my devices. It's really bad.
I have a workaround for you. Just getting support. Yeah, pay for it, guys. but yeah, so the story was about, like, the guy who invented it was basically trying to make it as ridiculous as possible to do a meta commentary on how easily misinformation spreads across the internet. So imagine his shock when nobody figured it out. He was just like, guys, like, it's the acronym is BS. It's called ballsack. I say the literal most ridiculous things on it. And everyone keeps picking it up, and he tried to get more and more ridiculous in order to finally get people to understand, but it just didn't work at all. And it worked it did the opposite of what he was hoping would happen.
It's so funny. Yeah. My favorite is when, you know, they cut to like Kendrick Perkins like arguing against the ball sack sports quote. It's like, what? Was it a slow news day? Are we not taking like 5 minutes to just fact check, or even just see who else, if this player actually said it or where this came from? We're just in this mode to be so fast and be the first one to react and the first one to say something about something that someone said that we can't even take a second to look that it says BS.
Yeah, exactly. Or like the attributing stuff has gotten so meta. There's so, like, you can go down the rabbit hole and it's like, oh, you pulled this from a picture of a of like a something pulled out from a podcast, and so it's a picture now on Twitter with the podcast attribution. I just glitched. Say it again.
Attribution? Is that right?
Yes, attribution. Okay. Yeah. Right there on the corner, right? And then it's picked up by TV, and they're talking about it, and then their commentary, because now we care so much about what talking heads have to say about the actual thing, that that's attributed somewhere else online. And it's just a cycle. To me, I'm always like, I don't understand why something that Stephen A. says is news. He's just someone talking about the news. What are his qualifications to create news himself? There is nothing that any of us say is news. Do you know what I mean? It's only the coverage of the news. But now because, whatever, we don't have to get all like, it's all derived from like the fact that these political stations are now like themselves the news instead of the actual news. But
the reaction to be my
and the late 78 July hunt for sports content is tough.
What?
The late July search for sports content is just tough.
Hey, we're making it through.
We are.
Yeah,
we're making it through. Sirit,
we're crushing.
Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.